This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off. All right, so Jesse, the last time you were on the show was 155 weeks ago. Please tell us a little bit about you and what's been happening since then.
Hi, it's great to be back. So my name is Jesse. I am 25 years old and I live on Long Island, New York. I have had trichotillomania since the age of 11. It started with pulling from my head, and then a few years later, I also started pulling from my eyebrows as well. Professionally, I work as a community habilitation specialist for kids with developmental disabilities. And so basically what that means is that I take care of kids with autism and cerebral palsy in their home. And then I also take some of them out into the community and I just work with them on goals and learning life skills. Like I said, I've had trich since I was 11 years old. And like most people with trich, I went through a lot of the negative feelings of intense shame, embarrassment, living in isolation, feeling like all alone, feeling like I was the only person in the world who did this, thinking there was something wrong with me. And it wasn't until I was a teenager in high school that I found the TLC Foundation for BFRBs, and I attended their national and annual conference in 2015 at the age of 16 with my mom. And that was so life-saving. It completely changed the trajectory of my life. And I got to meet other people with BFRBs. And that was like such a catalyst for me shedding pretty much all the shame that I had. So from that point on, I started sharing my story. I came out and openly living with trichotillomania, and I was inspired to just be an advocate and raise awareness so other people don't have to feel alone, because as you know, this trich is still such an underrepresented and unknown, misunderstood disorder. So I wanted to be the kind of person to share my story and let people know that they're not alone, and also educate people who, like my family and friends, and people who may not know what BFRBs are. So growing up, I went through all different phases with hair growth and hair loss. I had half my eyebrows. I've had no eyebrows. Currently, I still have no eyebrows and haven't had them for years at this point. I've had short pixie cuts. I've had worn hair pieces and wigs. I've shaved my head completely bald. I've had like shoulder length hair with bald spots. And now I have like mostly a full head of hair. And I have had a full scalp of hair for quite a few years now. Back in 2019, I started a program called Trickster Sisters, in which I send care packages to young girls with trich and act as a mentor and like big sister figure to them, so they don't have to grow up alone feeling like they're the only person in the world who does this. And over the course of 2019, I raised over $1,000 from donations, and I was able to send care packages to 40 young girls throughout the United States. It's been kind of on hiatus, but I've recently started up again, and I'm really excited about that. A lot else has changed since the last time I was on this podcast. In 2022, I also wrote and published two books about my life with trich. One of them is a memoir called Triumphant Trickster. And Triumphant Trickster is kind of like my personal branding that I came up with. And then the other book I wrote is called A Tricky Situation. And that's a little short picture book for kids with an abridged version of my story with Trick and just explaining trichotillomania in easy to understand terms so kids can explain it to their friends and classmates and stuff like that. I also, since late 2023, have been a peer coach with HabitAware. I facilitate monthly virtual hangouts for kids, and we're about to start hangouts for teens as well. So the kid hangouts are for ages 7 to 12, and the teen hangouts are for ages 13 to 17. And we meet once a month on Zoom, and the kid hangouts have been going so well. They're a lot of fun, and I actually myself have learned quite a lot from the kids, and it just really makes my heart so happy to be able to do this.
You've been kicking butt as far as advocacy work, really, really making a huge difference. So, for those listening who are interested in supporting Trickster Sisters, how would they be able to do so?
So I have my own website, triumphanttrickster.com, and there's a tab on there to donate. And I also today, just today, actually started a GoFundMe as well. So that information is all on my website. And then I also started a campaign of selling t-shirts, and the proceeds from selling the t-shirts will also go towards Trickster Sisters. So I have one t-shirt design with the green and blue BFRB awareness ribbon that says Trickster, and then one of them that says BFRB Strong that also has the green and blue ribbon. And the shirts come in three different colors, kid and adult sizes, and all of that information is on my website. They're also just a great way to show your support and raise awareness.
What are some of the items that you have in the care packages?
So when I restarted Trickster Sisters recently, I haven't like officially restarted it. I've just kind of been sending a couple of small little packages to a few girls, some of the kids from the kid hangouts for HabitAware. So some of the things that I include in there, I include a copy of my children's book. I have some fidget toys, some hair accessories. I also hand make beaded bracelets on pipe cleaners so you can play with the beads and fidget with that. And then I also have been making these fidget hair clips, I've been calling them. So it's really just like a few pieces of embroidery floss braided attached to a hair clip, and then it has some beads on it. So that way, when your hands go up to your head, which, inevitably happens throughout the day, instead of pulling your hair, you can play with the string and the beads on the string. And so I have one that I made for myself, and I shared that strategy in the kid hangouts. And some of the kids said that they wanted one. So that's kind of what sparked me to restart Trickster Sisters and be like, hey, okay, I can make these things for the kids and then just include a few other things. So the donations go towards the items that go into the packages as well as the cost of shipping and postage.
Tell me about the writing process for you. How did it feel sharing your experience and publishing it?
So writing a book is actually something I have been wanting to do for years. And I first got that idea back in 2019. There was a young girl, I believe she was about 12 years old, at the 2019 TLC conference. And she had written a book and published it herself on Amazon Kindle Direct Publishing. And I was just so inspired by her. I admired her at being only 12 years old, not much older than I was when my trick developed, and sharing her story. So I thought that was just so cool. And I started to write a book in 2019. Some of it was a compilation also of previous posts I had made on social media because I had made a lot of posts about Trick. So yeah, I started in 2019 and then I kind of abandoned it for a few years. I remember back on the last time I was on the podcast, I had mentioned towards the end that I was thinking of like kind of following in your footsteps and writing and publishing a book of my own. But it wasn't until like a year after that, in 2022, over the summer, I literally, it sounds crazy, but one day I think I want to say it was like August 31st. I believe that's the day it was. I literally just woke up in the middle of the night and decided I'm going to write a book once and for all. So the process was actually pretty quick. Like I said, I had a lot of material to work with because of so many posts I had made previously and just other thoughts. So once I got started, it kind of just flowed and I couldn't stop. And then, I don't know, I guess about 2 weeks later or so, I published it myself on Amazon. And then I also had been having the idea to write a kid's book, like a picture book for kids, explaining trick in easy to understand terms. So that's another thing I've been wanting to do for years as well. And after I published Triumphant Trickster, my memoir, I also published A Tricky Situation. So that's a really, it's a really short book for kids, but I feel like I explain it pretty well for kids to understand. And I also share a little bit about my own story.
Did you find yourself going through a ton of different emotions as you were writing the book?
Yeah, definitely. Like just seeing how much I've grown from starting out all the way back when I was in middle school, like a preteen, shy, scared girl, to who I am now as like a confident, proud young woman. And so that was really emotional and very nostalgic as well.
Will there be more in the future, as you continue to live your life?
Honestly, since even just in the almost 2 years since I published those books, so much else has changed. And that's something that I'm constantly looking at. The way that I kind of quantify that is by looking back at previous posts. Like, for example, on Facebook Memories, when posts from years ago show up, like, on this day, this is what you posted. And when I see things like that, I just am like in awe of myself, like how much has changed. So, towards the end of my senior year of high school, literally the day before my last day of high school ever, I shaved my head. And so I went to my senior prom and high school graduation completely bald. And so that was like around June 2016. So those posts have been showing up on my Facebook memories recently. And I'm just like now in awe of myself and looking back at that. And I'm like, wow. Like even back then, I thought that like, what else more can I possibly do this than shave my head? Like I thought that was like, the most amazing thing I could ever do. And since then, 8 years ago, I have accomplished so much, like beyond my wildest dreams. And it's just, yeah. So to answer your question, I don't know. I don't know right now if I will write more books, but maybe further down the line, I'm definitely open to that. And like I said, my story is just constantly evolving and I'm constantly growing. And I think that's really beautiful.
So you're the programs director at the Leiter Foundation. Tell us how you got to be involved.
So the Leiter Foundation for BFRBs is a relatively new nonprofit that is dedicated to providing education and resources, specifically in communities of color. So the Leiter Foundation was founded by Bianca Leiter. She works as a hairdresser who specializes in hair loss and trichotillomania. And she has been involved in the BFRB community for a while. And she's presented workshops at conferences and trains other hairdressers. So she saw a need for resources for people of color. So I myself am a mixed race woman. I'm half Filipino and half Caucasian, and I identify as a person of color. So Bianca started the Leiter Foundation about 2 years ago in 2022. So she saw a need for resources in communities of color because, as it is, BFRBs are already not widely known or understood. But that is like especially true in communities of color. So she wanted to have a place where people of color with BFRBs can feel at home and see other people who are like them. People of color are underrepresented. I have known Bianca since I was about 15 years old.
Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today.
She cut my hair. She's located in New York City. And like I said, I live on Long Island. So I live about 50 minutes to an hour away. And back in 2014, when I was 15 years old, I had not gotten a haircut in over 5 years or so because I had not gotten a haircut since my trich developed when I was 11. So for about 4 or 5 years, I had never stepped foot into a hair salon because I was so ashamed of my hair loss and bald spots. So I found Bianca through the TLC website, and I asked my mom if I would be able to go see her. And that was a huge boost to my confidence. And even though Bianca doesn't have trich herself, she was just so compassionate and understanding and so mindful of my needs and my feelings. And she just validated me. So that was a really amazing experience. And since then, Bianca has just become a close friend of mine. And I've helped her presenting at conferences as well. So when she had the idea to start her own nonprofit, she immediately thought of me to help out. So I am now the programs director for the Leiter Foundation. And then I also manage the social media.
We recently saw each other at the BFRB Changemakers Conference. How was that for you? I think, TLC at the time had taken a little bit of a break. Of course, the pandemic, there wasn't many in-person events happening. I think this might have been one of the first ones that was hosted. How did it feel going and seeing people that you've known before, maybe even people that you've seen online and never met in real life?
I have been to 5 TLC conferences from 2015 to 2019. 2019, before the pandemic, was the last in-person TLC conference. So when Anila from HabitAware organized the BFRB Changemakers reunion last year, back in October, I knew that I absolutely had to go. So it was small. There was only about 30 people, and most of the people there have known each other from the TLC conferences. So most of the people there I've been friends with since I was a teenager, and we hadn't seen each other in about 4 years. So that was just incredible. It felt as if no time had passed at all. And we just picked back up where we left off. And even though a lot has changed since then, it's really interesting. So a lot of these people I've known since I was a teenager, and now we're like adults, like full-fledged adults living our lives, but we still have this thing that brings us together. And it's just really cool to see how just not only myself, but how everyone else has grown. And so in addition to that, it was really cool getting to meet you as well, because we've known each other on social media, and I've been a guest on the podcast before. And so it was so cool to meet you in person as well. And I met a couple other people at the reunion I had never met before. So that was cool to meet a few new people. But most of the people there I have known for years, and it was just a blast to have a weekend where I could just be in my element and be amongst friends who are honestly like family.
Will you be attending the TLC conference this October?
Yes, I absolutely will. I actually submitted a few workshop proposals, so I'm hoping to also be presenting workshops as well. And I'm really excited for the TLC conference to finally be meeting in person again because it's been 5 years, way too long. So I'm excited to see all of my BFRB family again, as well as meet new people.
For those who are listening who haven't attended a conference before, what would be some of the reasons that you love it, that you would say, hey, you have to attend? Here's why.
So the biggest thing for me was meeting other people and realizing that I'm not alone, because with BFRBs, it's not just about the hair pulling or the skin picking. It's all of the feelings and emotions that come with that, like shame and isolation. So the TLC conferences are a place where you can just be yourself. You see people with all different appearances, all different lengths of hair, bald, skin picking scars, whatever. And we all just come together and just can be ourselves freely and be amongst people who understand what it's like. Because that, I feel like, has been the most life-changing thing for me, was realizing that I'm not alone and meeting other people. And so now I have a support network of people that I can go to whenever I need. And knowing that I'm not alone also helped me in rebuilding my self-esteem and my confidence in myself, and just shedding the intense shame that I had felt for years.
How would you describe your relationship with trichotillomania when you were younger versus now?
So when I was younger, I honestly thought that trich was the worst possible thing that ever happened to me. And now I can honestly say that it was actually the best thing that had ever happened to me. And that may sound really weird to some people, but for everything that I felt trich took away from me when I was younger, I have actually gained so much more from that. I used to think that trich like stole my identity, and now I feel like it has given me a positive identity and a platform, and I've found my voice, and now I am proud to be an advocate. I honestly feel like God gave me trich for a reason, be to help other people and to learn to love myself beyond my appearance, which I think is so important.
What does success with a BFRB look like to you?
Success or recovery with BFRBs definitely looks different for everyone. For me personally, my goal is not to be quote unquote pull free or to try to get rid of my trich. And that's never really been my goal, even when I was younger, because I've always found that while the pull free mentality may work for some other people, I've found personally that it just doesn't work for me. I think it's very unrealistic for me personally, and it's put way too much pressure on myself to be perfect. And I don't think recovery is about perfection. It's about progress, not perfection. So even though I still have no eyebrows and tweeze them several times a week, and I still pull at least a couple strands of hair pretty much every day, I consider myself to be in recovery with trichotillomania. And I've made peace with the fact that I will most likely have trich for the rest of my life. But the difference now is that I love and accept myself, and I don't beat myself up for pulling. I practice self-compassion, and I have had pretty minimal pulling from my head, at least. Not my eyebrows, but I've had pretty minimal pulling from my head for the last 4 or 5 years, I would say. And I do have a full head of hair now. I haven't had bald spots in, again, 4 or 5 years. And I will admit that having a full head of hair is really nice, especially since I grew up having bald spots and have shaved my head before. But to me, my success and recovery is not about my hair growth. It's about my personal growth. And that growth has been tremendous. So I'm really proud of that.
What are some of your favorite management strategies?
So, like I mentioned before, one of the strategies that I use to manage my hair pulling is these fidget clips that I keep in my hair every day when my hand goes up, because sometimes it's just automatic, right? Like, we don't always even realize when our hands go up, and a lot of times they just have a mind of their own and it's unconscious pulling. So, when my hand goes up throughout the day, instead of pulling my hair, I feel the string on my fidget clip or play with the beads on it. And that is really helpful because that's a subtle way that doesn't draw too much attention to myself and won't raise eyebrows no pun intended, from other people around me. And then I also usually every day wear one of these spiral coil bracelets around my wrist, which again is something that doesn't draw too much attention to myself. It just looks like a bracelet. And I just twist it and play with it. When I'm at home, something that really helps me is actually my baby blankie. Even though I am 25 years old, I still snuggle and hold my blanket. I have always found it to be very comforting, and it's also very soothing to just hold it and pick at the seams. So, pretty much at all times when I'm at home in my bedroom, I have my blankie in my hands at almost all the time. And then the last thing that I've found to be helpful for me has been the Habitaware Keen bracelet. So I had the first original Keen bracelet that came out, I believe, in 2017. So I had gotten it for my birthday in December 2017 when I was 19 years old. I had actually met Anila and Samir, who are the co-founders of Habitaware, at my first TLC conference in 2015. And back then, that was when Habitaware and Keen were in like the baby infancy stages. And the Keen bracelet had not even been released to the public yet at that point. When it finally was released to the public, I had asked my parents for one for my birthday. And it was a game changer. So, for those of you who may not know what Keen is, it's a smart bracelet that you train to detect when you are engaging in pulling or picking behaviors. And it gives you a gentle vibration to alert you when you are pulling or picking or biting your nails or engaging in whatever your BFRB is. And the goal is to make you more aware of when you're engaging in those behaviors. So that way you can make change and a decision to do something else, whether that's grabbing a fidget toy or taking a break from whatever you're doing or going for a walk or changing your environment or whatever. And the Keen bracelet gives you the awareness, but you have to put in the work to make those decisions and make that change for yourself. And that significantly helped me in increasing my awareness and kind of feeling like I had a little more control. The Keen bracelet has helped me so much so to the point where even when my hand goes up to pull from my head, I can pull just a few strands of hair and have it stop there. And I am able to stop myself now and not have it turn into a full-blown episode. So the Keen bracelet has definitely been a game changer for me.
What advice would you give someone who wants to be like you? They want to be in the mental health space. They want to help people and be on program director and writing books, all the things that you're doing for advocacy. If someone is inspired and wants to be like you, what's some advice you would give them?
I would say to honestly just go for it head first and put yourself out there. You know, you may have to start small. Like for me, I started initially just sharing posts to my friends and family and school acquaintances on Facebook. And then eventually I made a public Facebook page, a public Instagram account. I also make videos sometimes on TikTok about my experience with Trick. So the advice I would give would be to just start small, exactly where you are, and be proud of all your accomplishments. Even if you help just one other person, that makes a difference.